We talked to Representative Jonathan Kreis Tompkins about his reactions to the oil tax bill that passed the state Senate on Wednesday, and our weekly essay feature. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Marta Friednauer. Those stories and more up next. The big news across the state this week is the vote on the oil tax bill in the Alaska State Senate. After lengthy debate, the Senate on Wednesday evening narrowly passed a bill that would overhaul the state's oil tax regime. The changes are projected to give oil companies a break of at least $600 million per year. The senators from the Upperland Canal, Democrat Senator Dennis Egan and Republican Senator Bert Stedman, broke with the majority caucus they both belong to vote against the bill. They joined two other Republicans and the Democratic minority in opposition of the bill. And watching from the gallery was freshman representative for Haynes and Cluckwan, Jonathan Kreis Tompkins. He was hopeful the bill would not pass, but it did. And on Thursday, he didn't mince words about his disappointment.
It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. I watched almost the entirety of the Senate floor session yesterday from the gallery as the only representative to watch in person, because it's history. It was history being made yesterday afternoon and last night. And it was sad to see. It rightfully so is getting headlines across the state because it's the most significant vote in Alaska legislature in recent history. And it was a bad vote, and it's a bad bill, and it's bad policy, and it's bad for Alaska, and I'm very distressed by it.
Kreis Tompkins said the issue was highly politicized with intense lobbying and industry firepower behind it. He also mentioned a supposed deal struck with Republican Senator Click Bishop of Fairbanks to get the last vote needed to pass the bill. Bishop, a moderate, thought the bill went too far and requested the majority add a provision that raised the base tax rate from 25% to 35%. But the majority caucus has denied that provision was added to secure Bishop's vote. Kreis Tompkins said he believes even those that supported the bill are skeptical of the gamble the bill takes on taxes and revenues.
I see my job as being trying to raise as much awareness and as much of a ruckus and outcry about this legislation as possible. In that, watching the floor debate yesterday, just watching the body language of the senators yesterday on the Senate floor, it is abundantly evident that who feels passionate about this, and people feel passionate that this is a terrible decision for the future of Alaska, and the people who are supporting this do not have that energy and are, I'm sure and I know, insecure about whether this is actually a good piece of legislation, yet voted for it anyway.
The bill now goes to the House, and Representative Kreis Tompkins said there's no doubt the bill will pass, but it will have to go through committee and will likely be revised in some ways by the industry-friendly representatives. And those revisions, said Kreis Tompkins, might jeopardize the final passage of the bill.
Candidly, that's going to be the last opportunity to kill this bill, is when it goes back to the Senate for what's called concurrence, when the Senate has to agree with the revisions made by the House, and those revisions are in all likelihood going to be more friendly to the industry than the Senate bill is. And there may be some moderate senators who took a big swallow last night and voted for this oil tax cut who may not be able to swallow it when it comes back to them.
While the oil tax bill is dominating the session right now, there is other business to attend to. Representative Kreis Tompkins is part of the Bush Caucus, a group of legislators from rural districts. They met earlier this week, he said, and identified some issues of consensus, including opposition to the school voucher bill and the voter ID bill.
Which are controversial bills, and if the Bush Caucus holds strong on the voter ID bill and also on the school voucher bill, both of those bills are dead. They're just, as a consequence, just are not the votes in the House to pass either bill. So it's significant. And to me, great news, because I'm no fan of either of those bills.
The school voucher bill proposes amending the state constitution to remove the language that prohibits spending public money on private education. The voter ID bill would require voters to present a form of photo ID or two forms of non-photo ID to election officials. And a couple of reminders on some events going on this weekend and into next. Registration is now closed for the 27th annual Buckwheat Ski Classic in Skagway this weekend. Late registration will be available at bib pickup sites in Skagway and Whitehorse on Friday. Bib pickup is at the AB Hall in Skagway from 5 to 7 p.m. Friday. There are presently 330 skiers already registered, according to race organizer Jeff Brady. That's closing in on the 381 record number of skiers that raced last year. For more information and a schedule of the weekend's events, visit buckwheatskiclassic.com. And this is a couple months away yet, but registration for the Kewaunee to Chilkat International Bike Relay is now open. And if last year's any indication, it will fill up fast. Early registration is open until April 26th, and final registration is May 30th, but will likely close before that when the maximum number of riders is reached. Visit kcibr.org for more information. And on Monday in Haines, the Forest Service will provide a review of the Tongass National Forest Land and Resource Management Plan. The plan is used to guide the Forest Service in planning and management of the Tongass and is up for public review every 5 years. Forest planner Sue Jennings will be in Haines on Monday, and her presentation begins at 6 p.m. at the Haines Library. There will be time for questions and comments after. The plan is online. We've linked to it from our KHNS News webpage. Now with our weekly essay feature, here's local author Heather Lundy.
We moved the women's community choir practice from the museum to the church next door because of a scheduled government hearing on amending a federal management plan for some Alaska public lands. Practice was then moved back to the museum when the meeting was canceled. One of my fellow altos asked if I'd heard what happened. I hadn't, but I had just returned from a trip. She whispered, "The government workers didn't check the ferry schedule, and they couldn't get here." I don't know if that's true, but it did make us laugh, as we have been having ferry issues lately. State officials seem to not be as well informed as they should about how much we depend on reliable ferry service, especially in the winter, and are now back at abandoning the sturdy ferries in favor of a slick new road. Ironically, our first song was the old Andrew Sisters Ferry Boat Serenade, which we're learning for next summer's celebration of 50 years of ferries in Southeast Alaska. "Even if I could afford a steamer," we sang, "I will take the ferry boat all the time." Our choir director, Nancy, said she chose the tune because we do love our ferries. It's no secret that residents of Haines and Skagway favor improved ferry service over a new highway partway up the east side of Lynn Canal and new shuttle ferries from there to here. There are pages of testimony filled with economic, environmental, and safety arguments against it, which I agree with. But there's a spiritual reason, too, and now that I'm a grandmother, I think it's my duty to point this out. In Florida, where we were vacationing, my husband and I took a hike in the Ocala National Forest, a huge remote scrub protected forever by Teddy Roosevelt back when Florida wasn't nearly as crowded. We hiked about 4 hours into the brush and soon were out of modern Florida and even cell phone range. We saw black bear tracks, deer sign, and then a white-tailed deer leaped right in front of us, just like the yearling's flag. I had been humming a little, since we were really in the middle of nowhere, and an unfamiliar nowhere at that, and singing comforts me. But after we saw the deer, we kept as quiet as hunters, hoping to see more. We did. But that's when I heard it. The hum of traffic moving on a distant interstate. Highways crisscross Florida. Even in one of the wildest places in the state, we could hear a road. Shouldn't there be some places where you can't? Shouldn't we make sure? Especially if, like here, a road isn't necessary? If not for us, then for our grandchildren?
I love to ride a ferry where music is so merry. There's a man.
That was local author Heather Lundy with our weekly essay feature, Small Things Considered. If you live in our listening area and would like to take part in this weekly feature, please contact us at news@khns.org. For KHNS News, this is Margaret Friednauer. Visit our news section online at khns.org. Our website has more than just your local news also. On our news page, you'll find news from sources around the region, state, greater U.S., and Canada. Thanks for listening to your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS welcomes comments on topics important to you. If you'd like to make a commentary to air on your local community radio station, check our website for guidelines at khns.org under Community. Each listener commentary airs twice, once in the evening and once in the morning after your local news. Everyone has an opinion, and you can make yours heard on the KHNS commentary.